Mr. Insulza, Secretary General of the Organization of American States, Ambassador Brutus, other distinguished guests and representatives, good morning. I'd first like to begin by thanking the OAS for extending this invitation for IOM to participate in today's seminar. I hope the information shared today will result in a more strategic approach to managing migration as we make greater strides towards cooperation and coordination. I will begin my presentation by first giving you a bit of information about IOM and assisted voluntary return in general, and then I will speak about the program that we have in Jamaica. IOM is the global intergovernmental organization that deals with the entire range of migration issues. It is comprised of 127 member states and 17 observer states, with 445 field offices and over 7,000 personnel. We have over 2,000 projects with a budget of close to $1 billion. And in 2008, more than 96% of IOM's funding was in the form of voluntary contributions for projects. IOM is committed to the principle that humane and orderly migration benefits not only migrants, but society as well. We act together with our partners in the international community to A, uphold the dignity and well-being of migrants, B, encourage social and economic development through migration, C, assist in meeting the growing operational challenge of migration management, and D, advance the understanding of migration issues. With regards to assisted voluntary return, or AVR, IOM's primary objective is a sustainable reintegration to the beneficiary. Activities that come under AVR may include pre-departure assistance, which includes services such as risk assessment and or voluntary return counseling, and outreach. Outreach involves certain things like mapping of local foreign communities, see what the realities for them are, and what it is that they are dealing with, and the issues that would actually influence them to stay in the host country or return to their countries of origin. Other activities include post-arrival social and economic support, and sometimes AVR programs may also consider a wider social context by focusing on the needs of the communities in which the migrant is reintegrated. We are guided by certain principles when we implement AVR programs. One of these is that the migrant must make an informed decision. That is, the return must be completely voluntary. There is also the possibility that the migrant might change his or her mind, and there must be no deportation procedures initiated, or the travel documents and immigration records should be devoid of any reference to deportation procedures. We also try to ensure that the migrant's rights are protected. There are many advantages to AVR, and I should point out that these advantages are not only to the beneficiary or the migrant, but to host governments and countries of return as well. For the migrant, AVR is a more humane and dignified alternative to forced return that is conducive to legal migration in the future. It also avoids the stigmatization of deportation and its negative repercussions. For host governments, AVR is more cost-effective than forced returns and can often be a quicker solution. For countries of origin, AVR can support development efforts through targeted returns and reintegration, including job placements of qualified nationals. There are many potential beneficiaries of AVR, and I will list a few. Potential beneficiaries are, one, asylum seekers who have claimed asylum subsequently choose not to pursue their asylum claim. persons whose asylum claim has been rejected, migrants in an irregular situation, persons with refugee status or enjoying temporary protected status who choose to return home, victims of trafficking, any person whose legal status in the host country, who has legal status in the host country, but without means to return home, that is including stranded persons and students, labor migrants at the end of their contracts, and persons in emergency situations that require rapid return assistance. There are four main stages of assisted voluntary return. The first, general activities, includes things such as assessment, profiling, outreach, information dissemination, and initial counseling, information, etc. The second stage is pre-departure, and this happens in the host country. In the pre-departure stage, return information and counseling, including information to the country of origin for return and reintegration purposes, is disseminated. There is also a health assessment done and health care provision. For example, if an individual is ill, this stage would include finding out what their medication is and their health needs, checking in the country of return to see if these medications are available, and if not, try to find alternative medicine. There's also the travel preparation that is done, which includes getting passports, visas, stamps, escort, shelter, depending on what is needed. The return and transportation stage includes making travel arrangements, assisting with embarkation, payment of installation of grant or pocket money, depending on what the program offers, and transit assistance. Finally, there is the post-return aspect of AVR, which deals with reintegration, and that is what we do in Jamaica. It involves reception, information, and counseling of the returnee, onwards transportation, temporary accommodation if this is necessary, socioeconomic reinsertion and reintegration support, as well as a monitoring and evaluation of the reintegration option that is chosen by the beneficiary. The impacts of reintegration assistance are many. Three of these are that it contributes to a sustainable return, it contributes to a broader economic development, and it allows for effective evaluation and monitoring of returnees. I'm now going to look at reintegration assistance in Jamaica. The Voluntary Assisted Return and Reintegration Program began in 2001, and it is co-funded by the UK government and the European Return Fund. It provides for returnees tailored reintegration assistance, which essentially means that each returnee is looked there. The needs of each returnee is taken into consideration when offering reintegration assistance. The major types of assistance offered are business setup, vocational training, education support, health and housing needs, and of course, monitoring and evaluation. The chart shows the number of returnees to Jamaica annually since 2001. And as you can see, there has been a gradual increase over the years, a slight decrease last year. I'm not sure why. The next chart deals with reintegration options, and the figures might not add up because it is tailored to the individual. You have the opportunity to choose more than one reintegration option. We had 89% of the returnees in 2001 opting for business setup. These businesses ranged from horse training to small community grocery stores, taxi operators, and much more. We offered accommodation to 44% of the returnees, and this accommodation is temporary, and you can't choose accommodation alone. You have to do accommodation with another option, maybe education or business, because the aim of the program is to have the returnee be sustainable. Hence, if you only have accommodation and the accommodation is temporary, how do you support yourself 3 months after that is done? You need to, you know, educate yourself, access education so you're in a better position to find a job or start a business so you can actually take care of yourself. With regards to education, the majority of the individuals who opted for education were actually minors who returned with their parents. And we had 5% of our beneficiaries accessing reintegration for health purposes. With monitoring and evaluation, this ensures that there is effective follow-up of reintegration projects, allowing for the recording of successes and also general difficulties that might have arisen during the implementation period. Monitoring and evaluation is done biannually. After the first 6 months, we visit the returnee, ask particular questions, look at the business, if that is what they're doing, to see what is happening. If it is that they need an additional fund to boost the business, that is available. If the business has folded, then we try to figure out why. The main purpose of doing this is so that we can actually learn from what one individual has done, so we can better advise beneficiaries who come home later as to what their options are, what to do and what not to do. We also try to identify needs, trends, changes for particular communities, and we produce stories of return as well, which should serve as a catalyzer for future projects or future activities. Sorry. Success stories. We have here three stories from Jamaica. The first is a horse trainer in St. Catherine who returned last year, and when we did his evaluation, he said his only regret about returning home was the fact that he was not able to see his daughter as often as possible. However, he's very grateful for being assisted by IOM, as it has actually put him in the position to be able to purchase a ticket for his daughter to visit him at home, which he believes is very important. As to quote him, it is very important for a child to know where their parents come from. We have the second person is a proprietor for a community grocery store in Kingston. She left Jamaica because she was afraid of violence or sort of reprisals. Her son had been killed, I think, maybe 2 months before she left, and she was afraid that the individuals who had committed this act would hurt her. She had feared coming home, and so what she did was she wanted to come home, but she had fears, and so we assisted her in actually going to another community where she felt safe. She has boasted profits, and she's very proud of the fact that she can actually, you know, give a little bit of money to her daughter and grandchildren. And checks with the community have proven that this was a well-needed service that was not there before. Our third and last success story is of a young woman who returned to Kingston and offered transportation services to children to and from school. Upon return, she had actually wanted to open a clothing store, but the reintegration fund that was allocated to her was not enough to do so. She has since used the profits from this transportation service to open a clothing store where she travels to Panama to purchase goods. And she, last I spoke with her, she was putting things in place to go to nursing school. In conclusion, AVR is an important tool in the overall management of migration, which reinforces, one, the integrity of migration and asylum systems, and two, the sustainability of the return process. The core principles that guide assisted voluntary return are the voluntariness of return, the protection of the migrants' rights, and the sovereignty of the state. Also, as was previously mentioned, AVR not only benefits the returning migrant, but it also benefits the countries of return and the host countries as well. Thank you.